take a moment to admire the fact that I just hit a fairway.
There's only two things that can happen. You can hit a good shot or a bad shot, so why waste time doing it?
And where I would go, wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at.
Right at it. Right at it! Home!
Oh,
he's done it again!
This is the dumbest hole I've ever played in my life.
Come on then, Shane. Knock it close. Shane Lowry is the Open champion.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Fairway Finders. We are on the second week of golf in 2023. I'm, of course, joined by Steve and Donnie. Lads, how are we doing after the first week of golf?
Very good. You forgot what episode it was, did you?
No, I just, to be fair, I think it's episode 56 or 57 at this stage.
No, it's more than that, because I know for a fact that we are only 2 or 3 weeks from episode 69. We're going to have to do
something. Sorry. 66, I should say, not 56.
What are we paying you for, bro?
It is episode 67. Episode 67.
Beautiful. So. But yeah, doing well. We're good to have golf back on the TV. Didn't see a whole lot of it. I didn't think there was anything to watch on Sunday with Morikawa racing clear the field. So I did not watch, saw the highlights. But yeah, Rahm coming from, what did he come from behind? Six shots?
It was
seven shots?
Total madness. Before the round started, it was six. But it wasn't Rahm either. At one stage, I think walking off the first green, and caveat, I'm over in Dublin, so Hawaii time, like I didn't see a stitch of it and assume that's, you know, waking up to a 5-shot Morikawa victory. Mm-hmm. He was 9 back after a hole. 9 back. And I know that I saw some bet slips on Twitter of people that had him at 50s. And I think I saw one of 55s in running on Rahm. And you could have got Morikawa. So when Morikawa gets off the 11th green, his win probability, according to Data Golf, is 99.6%.
Almost Henley levels from last year in the Sony Open, which we'll get into. There's a great video for anyone that's on Twitter to jump onto the PGA Tour official page. They have like a timeline of the odds fluctuating of Rahm and Morikawa throughout the 18 holes. And you just see it starting to switch. I think it's around hole 12 or 13. Rahm gets cut into about 12-1 or 10-1, and then it just keeps dropping from there. So pretty amazing, to be honest, that he threw it away. But I think it just shows again how hard it is to go out on a Sunday and get things closed off, especially on a course like that when you are trying to play defensive or play safe. It really does just throw everything up in the air. So fair play to Rahm, but I'm sure Morikawa will be pretty pissed off. Although
to
we shouldn't
fair,
have
though,
been,
to should be
have
fair, been in the though, tournament. Like, I know he ended up kind of bottling it fair, but I think it's still a positive of the fact that he was up there and he hasn't been up there for quite a while. Right. So I know obviously it's hugely
season.
Crushing, like, but you know, at least it's a step in the right direction for him, at least. You know, it's shit like for him, don't get me wrong.
There's far more in the cold light of day, there's far more upsides and downsides for Morikawa after that week.
Exactly.
But God, it must be gut wrenching. And as well, you know, we've got these PGA elevated events. That was £2.7 million. Which I think is in and around what Cam Smith won for the players last year.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's probably worse than a sore head in the morning, I would suspect.
Big chunk of change. But again, it's a nothing tournament in the grand scheme of things. It's more of a tune-up, a warm-up event for the season ahead. So I think he'll get over pretty quick.
Yeah, I think so. Can we talk about just John Rahm being the best player in the world right now? Again.
Right, he's not. Rory is.
Well, all right, so my argument that Rahm is right now, he's won 3 of his last 5 starts, which is pretty decent. Check this out. I saw this on Twitter, right? Have a guess what his handicap would be over the last 20 rounds. So if he was in the world handicap system, what do you reckon his handicap would be?
Plus 20.
Oh, I wasn't going to go with that. I was going to guess maybe plus 8 to plus 10, but I assume...
Yeah, that's a legitimate guess, bro, not nonsense. Plus 13.
Yeah.
Plus 13.2. Yeah. So if me and John Rahm were playing each other in Bob Regan in the morning, he would be... I'm off 10, so he'd be giving me 23 shots, and he'd still bait me.
He'd be giving me 40, sick.
But yeah, he's had... In 8 rounds of golf around Kapalua, he's shot 60 birdies.
62 or better is what I saw. Yeah, he's saying he's 60 birdies, 60 under.
60 birdies and two eagles in two That's years.
Stupid.
So I reckon, I remember us having a conversation last year where that Cam Smith had like 33 birdies and a couple of eagles. I was like, could you get 33 birdies in a year? And I did do it last year. So I'm going to see if I can get 60 in a year.
No chance.
There's fucking no chance. I'd say I would give myself 20 to 1 on making 60 birdies this year.
Yeah.
More. So Ram playing off that handicap, it would take him what, like six rounds, five rounds?
Yeah.
That's scandalous. Like,
but that course is it. That course is just like,
it's insane.
It's such Mickey Mouse. Like,
it's Mickey Mouse.
One of my players, one of my picks this week for Sony. We'll get to it. He shot 16 under last week, which was good enough for 21st in a 39 man field. Like,
yeah,
get it.
Also, I just want to say, I guess to finish off the century is Tom Kim actually played quite well.
Donnie,
literally what you said last week is literally exactly what happened. You went, watch, he'll play well now in a tournament or two and he'll be 10 or 12 to 1, and here we are a week later
This kid is so fucking good. Like, when you think that, you know, a year ago he's outside the world's top 100, no one really knows about him, and you know, because of the homogeneity of South Korean names, it can be easier to kind of miss a guy. You know, there's a lot of Kims, there's a lot of Woos, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he's just a star. Like, I don't know how high his ceiling is, but tee to green, he's unbelievable. And he's only 20 and he can really.
Yeah, 20 for me is
like, he can seriously roll it on the greens as well.
Come back to me when he wins something of note.
Ah, here we go. Steve said something similar about Scotty Scheffler last year around this time. So look, we'll see. And I
said I'm wrong, but Tom Kim has done nothing as far as I'm concerned. A lot of potential, but sure, I had a lot of potential at one point in time. Now look at me.
You know what I mean? I don't know if you did now. You had a lot of potential for points, maybe. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but... too right. But
you still have that. But it is kind of crazy that this kid, like, you know, he is the 11-1 favorite for the Sony this week. Stupid. And we're not in a situation, like, it's not the best field. It's a relatively competitive field. But I mean, Brian Harman is your fourth favorite. Now, granted, Brian Harman has been excellent for 6 months. But still, it is wild to see a 20-year-old South Korean kid being shorter in a PGA Tour event than Jordan Spieth is.
That 12-1 is a brew type price, isn't it, Danny? Fairway, our favorite finders.
Well, I mean, you already know I'm on him. Like, so
I'm just throwing it out there.
I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do that yet. Like, I can't. Like, before we get on to Sony, is there anything else you want to talk about from Tournament of Champions? We want to mention Seamus Power. He started well. Like, he was decent. Again, I think he was another one of these boys. I think he got to maybe 17 under, which was good enough for maybe T17. I could be wrong on that. That's for off memory.
Yeah, not a good showing. And he's number one in the FedEx Cup standings, I believe, at the moment.
He is.
Seamus Power is. So.
He's got one of the longest, well, he's probably already made it now, one of the longest journeys on planet Earth on a plane this week, because he's rocked up to Abu Dhabi. Having been in Hawaii, he's now gone to Abu Dhabi for the Hero Cup.
I'm sure he's sitting first class getting served glasses of champagne at his click of a finger, so I don't have too much sympathy for him. But it's a nice bit of travel all the same.
Did you see the story with Tom Hoagie this week as well? He flew back. No. So he played the Tournament of Champions. He's playing Sony Open this week. He flew back to Tennessee, I think. TSU had some big American football game.
National championship, I believe.
They got their arses handed to them. So he flew back for the game for like a day. I don't know. From Hawaii to Texas, that has to be at least 7 hours.
My U.S. geography isn't what it should be, Donny, so I can't comment, I'm afraid.
Lads rocking up the air miles, fucking carbon
footprint. Yeah, ruining our planet. And then we're asked to recycle a few bottles every now and then to try and help out, you know what I mean?
there's no other order of business. Just the John Rahm, another stat that I want to put out for John Rahm, which is nuts. John Rahm's percentage of top fives in the PGA Tour since he turned pro is 37%.
That's insane.
It's 55 out of 149 starts. Do you know what Tiger's is?
Something ridiculous.
No, it's only 31.
Ah.
Now that does include injured Tiger. It's not, you know, Tiger at the height of it was obviously going at a bigger click than 37%. But Jesus Christ, like John Rahm is, now that he's got his putting issues fixed, he is just a machine.
Well, we'll see. We'll see in the majors, Donnie, won't we?
We will.
Let's not get too excited about him just yet.
Yeah. I really fancy him for another US Open. But anyway, we are getting ahead of ourselves. Do we want to do some picks?
Yes. Let's do an old intro solo for...
I think if you get John Rahm in the final group on Sunday, I think he stands on next and he's going to get it done.
Because the winner this week is going to be my one and done pick. I put it on Twitter. Put my cards down on the line. I'm going for Rory McIlroy.
I'm hopping aboard the Billy Ho train. He's 28, so I think you can get him.
Straight off the bat, not even going to waste time. Paul Casey and Sam Burns, previous winners, both over 22-1. I think that's an absolute value bet there. My third pick is Hideki Matsuyama. I got him at 18s this morning.
Beautiful. The 2023 Sony Open, sponsored by Sony, takes place this week.
Are you sure it's not Sony?
Yeah, positive. Wailua Country Club in Honolulu, Hawaii. Bit of a tongue twister, that. Par 77, just over 7,000 yards, so relatively short course. It is a design by Seth Rayner, who I've never heard of before. Bermuda grass, greens, fairways, Bermuda grass, everything pretty much. Similar to what we were playing on last week. In terms of what we're looking at, in terms of the field, 19 of the 39 players that played in the Century are playing this week. Jordan Spieth is the highest ranked player in the official World Golf Rankings at number 14. What else is important to know? Hideki Matsuyama is the winner last year, 2022. He beat Russell Henley in a playoff, which I don't want to talk too much about.
Han Hideki, but
can we just hover on that for a second? What happened again last year?
We'll get into it after, Donnie. Right? We'll get into it. Kevin Na won it in 2021, and Cam Smith bet Brandon Steele in 2020 in a playoff. So two of the last 3 years we've had a playoff. And the other year was a one-stroke victory for Kevin Na. So probably going to be a playoff or one to two-stroke lead. I don't think you're going to see somebody running away with it. Key stats to look at, I think approach is probably the number one. It seems very much like a second-shot golf course. Just given some of the winners that we've had over the last number of years, just straight off the bat, Kevin Na doesn't hit the ball very far. Matt Kuchar, Fabian Gomez, Jimmy Walker, even Russell Henley
as well.
Yeah, wouldn't be massive hitters of the golf ball. So just to hone in on that approach, that so Henley, who lost in the playoff last year, he was second on approach for the year. Na, who won it in 21, he was fifth, and then Brendan Steele, who lost in the playoff, he was also second on approach as well. So it's pretty good safe bet to say if you're in the top five of approach for the week that you won't be too far away from it. Betting wise, Brew, I'll let you rattle through that if you have the odds up. But I know Tom Kim is favored at 12-1.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
11s he's into now. The best you can get anywhere is 11s.
Right.
Yeah. So, first of all, these odds are sponsored by PointsBet Canada. Against PointsBet, you can only access when you are in the province of Ontario. You must be 19 years or older to bet, and please bet responsibly. So we have Tom Kim, favorite at about 11-1, Sungjae at 13, Jordan at 15, Hideki at 19, Harman 19, Russell Henley at 21, Corey Connors, Tom Hoagie at 23s, and then you have people like Horschel, Cameron Davis, Maverick McNealy hovering around the kind of 30-34-1 mark.
Nice. Yeah, so it's not the deepest field ever. I've got a few stats and a few trends. So if we're looking Obviously, last week we didn't manage to pick John Rahm. I mean, we would have been picking the favourites, so I don't feel as if we've let anyone down. What did I have? Me and you, Brew, had Tom Kim. He was tied fifth. Tony Fina was tied seventh. JT didn't do anything for me.
Surprised Brew didn't have Rahm seen as he was favourite. It's only his type of bet, isn't it?
Yeah, but Brew's got the best P&L of a lot of us. So, I mean,
he does, yeah.
You got to listen to the man.
Back to favourites, easy.
we're here to make money for our adoring fans, Steve. You know, come here. I've got some stats and trends for the Sony. So, a few things to look out for, and things that I've got five picks this week, and they're all kind of predicated around these stats. So, 17 of the last 24 winners would have played in Kapalua the week before, and that's actually even more recent times. 8 of the last 10 would have played in it before. There's also Carlos, like, it can't happen this year because Rahm's not playing this week, but there have been, since the turn of the century, there have been 6 winners in both venues. So Hawaii, windy, Bermuda grass, big undulations, high correlation. So one of the big data points I'm looking at here is recent form, and make sure that the guys I'm picking play the tournament with champions. Now, not all of them do, most of them do. In terms of recent form, 5 of the last 8 winners had won within the wraparound season. So from September through to now, 5 of the last 8 winners had won before. So recent form is huge. Weirdly, only 4 winners under the age of 30 since 2000, which kind of lends itself to think that this is a golf course you need to learn. It's really, approach is important, but I would say equally as important is putting. So the last 7 winners, only Kevin Na, who was 23rd, of the other 6 winners were top 6 or better in strokes gained putting. Hideki led the field when he won. I think someone else led the field as well. I think Matt Kuchar might have done. So putting, in terms of data points, what I'm looking at this week, recent form. So I'm really interested in the last 3 months. I want to make sure as much as possible that I'm picking guys who played last week. And then I'm interested in strokes gained putting. I'm interested in strokes gained on approach, like Steve said.
Basically driving, isn't it? Obviously it helps, but
no, if you're a great driver, then happy days, but you're kind of going to regress to the mean, because even if you're a shy driver, I think JT won here and he was 60 something in driving accuracy. So even though it's tree line, it's tree line, but it's not like evergreen trees. Like, there's a lot of just, you know, you can curve a ball around trees, and you're going to see a lot of that this week, of guys playing some creative shots when they get out of position. So that'll actually be fun.
Beautiful. Do we want to crack into a few picks then, do we?
Yeah. Sure. I can go first if you want.
Go on, Brew, yeah.
So as Steve already mentioned, I am an old favorite finder. I am going to go with Tom Kim. I'm just going to go for him to win. There's obviously no point in backing him each way. I got him at 12-1. He's gone down to about as Donnie said, about 11-1 now. Look, I mean, I think he's playing excellent. He played very well last week. It was just Morikawa and Rahm were just obviously a step above. The fact that they're not playing this week, I just think he's a good chance. As we say, great player for someone who's so young. And even at 12 or 11-1, I think if you bet him each way, just throw a tenner on him or something like that, I think it's worth it. Next bet is, I have my boy who gave me my first win of last year, Hideki Matsuyama, to keep his crown, as they say. So I got him at 24-1, boosted on Bet365.
Nice. That is a juicy price.
Yeah. So I got him again. Just want to say, last week and this week, I am keeping the stakes relatively small. I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't say blow your load too early, but you know, I wouldn't be putting too many big bets on early in the season. So keep your stakes quite small. But Hideki Matsuyama at 24.
And bet responsibly, of course.
And please
never.
finally then, actually I do have one more pick, but I do have a kind of a prop bet that I just saw bet 365 boosted, so I'm on that as well. But my last bet is Keegan Bradley. Again, it's a player that I don't know why I absolutely despise him.
It's because he's weird. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know what it is,
it's the eyes. The eyes scare people.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't know if it was for when he was kind of good back in the day and he played well for the US in the Ryder Cup or what, but I just never ever liked him.
He's extremely intense. Yeah. Extremely intense.
But I got him at 33-1. I think he's the type of player that could do well around this kind of course. And at the end of the day, I don't know. He just stood out to me when I was looking through some of the the like data points and a few of the players. And I saw 33-1, and I was like, Joe.
I can't have any qualms with Keegan because I backed him for the Zozo at 22s and he won it for me there back in November. Yeah. So listen, Keegan's had a really good season last season.
Yeah.
He is one of the elite approach players in the game. He can be streaky with the putter. His long game is really underrated as well. So, I mean, Keegan Bradley is kind of an under the radar guy because he's not particularly. He doesn't have a fan base of people. I think people are more skewed towards ambivalence more than anything. But like he's had a really good season last season, and I think he'd be a guy who'll win again this year, to be honest.
Yeah.
Potentially. So,
then one last kind of, I guess, boosted bet that I just saw of 365. So I threw a tenner on it was Tom Kim and Brian Harman both to finish top 10 is just over 10-1. It's just a little kind of nibble on it, as I said. So I just threw a tenner on that and a smaller stakes on the other lads and Tom Kim just to win because there's no point at that low in odds to go each way. So yeah,
those are very good.
Yeah.
Donny, why don't I rattle off my three picks here and then I'll let you take whatever 15, 20 picks that you have.
I have five.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So pick number one, Gary Woodland, 50-1. I think the absolute disrespect of Tom Kim being 12-1 and four-time winner and major champion Gary Woodland being 50-1 is definitely worth a value play. So Woodland's played four or five events already in the 2023 season, which started at the end of 2022. He's 12th on approach this season, which is a key stat to have in the locker. And the other big thing for him, he's coming off a T9 in his last time out playing the Houston Open in November as well. So Woodland had a strange season last year, really streaky, finished top five, top 10 in a lot of big events. The Arnold Palmer, he should have won. The Honda Classic, he was up there as well and featured in a lot of bigger events he tended to pop his way up in. So I'm liking Woodland's chances this week at 50s. The other thing with him is he putted really well when he was in contention, obviously. He's a guy that can make big putts at big moments. So I like Woodland at 50-1. I think there's a lot of value there.
Definitely a big price.
Yeah, absolutely. And similar story then with Webb Simpson as well. Going with the two experienced boys for my main two picks. So Webb Simpson has an outrageous course record, which I think everyone needs to sit up and take notice of. Last 7 years, he has six top 15 finishes around this golf course, Willawe Country Club. So he was 61st last year, which was his worst finish. 21, he was fourth. 2020, he was third. 2018, he was fourth. 2017, he was 13th. 2016 and 2015, he was 13th as well. So there's obviously something about the golf course that Webb loves. Classy player on his day. Form isn't the best. He's played three events this season. He's 50th on approach, so probably in the top third of players on tour for the few events he's played this season. But again, 70-1 for Webb Simpson, a guy that can easily turn it on.
He seems to be really struggling in recent times off the tee. But we kind of mentioned that's negated this week because it's not a long golf course. You don't either need to be particularly accurate. That all the business end is pretty much on the greens and then with a lot of wedges. So that's a fucking big price,
isn't it?
On a guy who's won multiple times and has likes the course and
loves the course.
It's a massive price.
Yeah, so 70s, I'm all over that. And then last but not least, a little dart on Cole Hammer. At 200-1. So Cole Hammer, he's a new guy on the scene. He helped Texas to their 2022 NCAA championships in June. So has some good pedigree on him. He got a sponsor's exemption to play in the RSM Classic towards the back end of last year and finished tied fifth in that, which gave him a spot in the Sony Open this week. So a lot of the guys still are going to be in that kind of tuning up mode and not taking this too seriously, I don't think, whereas Hammer essentially is playing for his card, playing to continue going on tour this season. So he two times he's played in or two cuts he's made in the season, to tied 27th at the Houston Open and tied fifth at the RSM Classic. Again, just a dart, 200-1, a guy that needs to perform to keep playing on the PGA Tour. So I'm going to take him at 200s. So Woodland 50s, Webb 70s, and Cole Hammer 200-1 all each way, and that is
nice. I always like seeing a young guy coming through that has good putting stats. So like he was ninth in putting when he was tied fifth at the RSM. Like all these kids coming out of college are just phenoms at striking the golf ball. They're robotic in how consistent they are. But then what really differentiates the talented kids from the kids who can come and win is a guy who can roll it with a flat stick. So I like that pick.
Yeah, it's a bit interesting.
I have five. And to be honest, I want to win early in the season. I was on the tear the back half of last season. I had three winners in 4 weeks at one stage. I had like about six winners from Cam Smith on, so I want to keep the momentum. That's why I have five. Right, so first up, I'm going to take Hideki, similar to Brew. So, as you said, defending champion, and he also led the field in putting last year while doing it. It's not unheard of for guys to defend around here. Jimmy Walker did it in 2014-15. Hideki looks fit again. His wrist injury kind of wrecked most of the season. He withdrew twice. He had, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on with his wrist, but I think he's passed it. And last week, he seemed fine in terms of his fitness. Shot 16 under. It was halfway up the field. That's a good tune-up. In terms of his course form, like, it's not just the victory last year. He's top 20 the last three times he's been to the Sony Open. So we're taking Hideki at 20s. It's mad he's shorter. He's a longer price than Tom Kim. I know Tom Kim's this.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It is.
Hideki's the next Masters champion and one of the best Asian talents. Probably the best. Is he the best Asian player ever to this point? Probably. Anyway,
definitely up there. And he's also the fucking defending champion.
Yeah. So I definitely taking him at 20-1. That's just a win-only bet. Second guy I'm taking is Tom Hoge. This is a guy I've backed a few times. He's done well for me a few times, been in contention at big prices. He's 28-1, but in terms of recent form, of guys who are in the field this week, he's fifth in strokes gained total in the last 3 months. So he was tied third last week in really exalted company at the tournament of champions, and he led the field on approach last week as well, so it's brilliant. He's kind of very hot and cold around here, so Wally, he's mixed a third place and a tied 12th with three missed cuts, including the last 2 years. So that's a bit of a worrying stat, although he's 11th in the field of everyone putting in the last 3 months. So that's over 20 rounds. Putting well, great on approach, going to make plenty of birdies. Hopefully he can keep the mistakes, he can avoid the mistakes, and I think he'll contend. That's 28-1. Next guy is Keith Mitchell, whose course form over the last 4 years has been progressively getting better. 7th last year, 14th the year before, 16th, 25th on debut. So he played it four times. He shot a 62 here on a Friday in 2021. He's also had three 63s around here. Really good in Bermuda grass. So he's won the Honda in 2019. He was tied sixth twice at the Arnold Palmer, which is Bermuda as well. He's another thing is, in terms of motivation, Mitchell, 50-1, he's 57th in the world rankings right now. And we know that top 50 are getting to the Masters, and he's desperate to go back to the Masters. So he's gonna have like this early season goal in mind to get some world ranking points early in the season. So I really, really like that in terms of the motivation. And then of strokes gained total of everyone who's playing this week, he comes in a fourth. So I think that's 50-1, you can get him on the exchange. I think on the sports books, he's 33, which I still think is value, but at 50-1, I was could not stay away from that.
That's fair.
Fourth guy is Mackenzie Hughes. So he was at the sharp end round one last week. He bookended last week with a 66 and a 65. But in between times last week in Kapalua, he wasn't great. He just seems to not be able to put four rounds together. He's this guy who will shoot like 65, 65, 73, 71 and finish like top 20. So this happened to him, like, well, even last season, he after the Sony Open, he shot two 65s, a 66, and then a 69. He shot a 65 the first time he played around here. He's fourth in the field strokes game put in the last 3 months. He also has the win in the Sanderson Farms in the offseason, so he ticks that box. He played last week, ticks a lot of boxes. I got him at 70-1 on the exchange. I think he's about 50s on the sports book if you want to back him each way. Yeah, so they're four. And then I put one guy in, and this the reason I backed him, Davis Thompson is 100-1. He's actually 500-1 in the exchange. He's not a rookie. He did play PGA Tour last season. Big, massive fucker, 6'4", absolutely bombs it. He was a beast of an amateur. So like in 2021, he won twice and he did another couple of top fives and eight starts. In terms of his PGA Tour record so far, he led the US Open briefly on round one a couple of years ago. He also was a first round leader at the Rocket Mortgage last year, but he was tied ninth in the Fortinet. He was tied 12th at Shriners, but both times he kind of faded in the last six holes. So I think he was within a shot in the lead with about seven left in the Fortinet. The reason I'm backing him is not correlated to course form or recent form or anything. I'm just backing him because I want to have a proper look at him. And if I've got a little bit of skin in the game, I'm going to keep a close eye because there's always a half dozen guys that bolt that are either rookies or it's their second year on tour. We've seen it recently with Zalatoris. We've seen it with Scheffler. And these guys can, we've obviously seen it with Tom Kim. And these guys can Sam Burns is another one. I remember having an 80-1 winner on him.
Yeah.
And you won't get 80-1 Sam Burns for another fucking 10 years.
Yeah,
minimum. So Davis Thompson, going to have a really close look at him. Not expecting him to contend, but I just bookmark that name for the future. Yeah, so there's my five. Hideki, Hoagie, Mitchell, who's probably my biggest fancy, Mackenzie Hughes, and Davis Thompson.
Nice.
Good stuff. One other thing worth mentioning as well, so it's not the only golf that is on this week. We also have the Hero Cup, a new event happening on the DP World Tour. So it's taking place in Abu Dhabi Golf Club. It's essentially a Ryder Cup style event. Ten players from Great Britain and Ireland against 10 from continental Europe. Starts on Friday. It would be a four ball, I think, on Friday, Saturday, foursomes, and then Sunday singles. So similar enough to the Ryder Cup. Some decent players on offer. So Tommy Fleetwood is captain in Great Britain and Ireland, and Francesco Molinari is captain in continental Europe. The likes of Detry, Maronk, Højgaard playing for continental Europe, for GB and I, Tyrrell Hatton, Lowry, Power, McIntyre, all making the trip over. So yeah, something different. I think it's probably good for the European or DP World Tour.
But, you know what though? That's kind of fucked up that they're breaking apart the most romantic Ryder Cup pairing I can ever remember.
But again, look, it's probably a decent, because the US have obviously the President's Cup that they can work on, get a bit more experience in this type of event. So
it's a great initiative, and it's great that they've put it in the calendar whereby, like, you know, Rory's, I don't know if Rory's going to be there. I wouldn't be surprised if he is, even though he's not taking part. But we've obviously got the HSBC and the Dubai Swing, or the Desert Swing coming on in terms of the DP World Tour and some really strong fields. So yeah, it's a brilliant opportunity for the likes of Dietry, for the likes of Evan Ferguson, or Ewan Ferguson, should I say, not Evan Ferguson, because Ireland's new savior, or is football's new savior. Who else is playing?
Rosner, Straka, Perez, Noren.
It looks like, actually looks really well matched. So the GB&I team is Tommy Fleetwood's captain, and you got Ewan Ferguson, Tyrrell Hatton, Shane Lowry, Bobby Mack, Power, Callum Shinquin, Jordan Smith, Matt Wallace, Richard Mansell must have kissed some serious arse to get in that team. Anyway, I could have been ruder, but I decided not to. On Molinari's European team, you got Dietry, Nikolai Højgaard, but Rasmus isn't there. Adrian Maronk, the big pole, or the tall pole, so to say.
On the boys.
Guido Migliozzi, Noren Paris, Peters, Straka, Rosner. Yeah. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Could be interesting to watch.
Great Britain and Ireland, sly favourites with the books, but I would say just don't even bother betting on it. Just watch it if you like.
A just bit enjoy
of,
it.
Yeah, if you like a bit of team golf, stick it on for a few hours, see what it's all about.
I have a sneaking suspicion that the DP World Tour will do some really cool, fun content for the week because it's a bit of a jolly, it's a bit of a practice week. There's not money on the line. And the European Tour are great at pulling together some players and having them do some really wicked, cool challenges. So I'd say this, it'll be a really fun week on the DP World Tour.
Yeah, absolutely. And then week after next, we're on to the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship next week on the DP World Tour. And I believe it's the Amex from Torrey Pines on the PGA Tour.
And it's a beast of a field. I think 11 of the world's top 20 are showing up at the Amex next week.
Exactly. So stay tuned next week, big week. And we will chat to you all then.
Yeah. Donny, just want to give our socials out really quickly, I suppose.
Yes, we will be covering both on Twitter over the course of the weekend. So we're Finders Fairway on Twitter, we're the Fairway Finders Pod on Instagram. We're not terribly active on there, to be honest. What would really mean a hell of a lot to us, if you enjoy the pod, if you enjoy the stats, if you enjoy the abuse and the slaggins, we would really, really appreciate a review. You can do it so easily. Give us a 5-star review on Spotify. Honestly, makes our week. We can't thank you enough for that. And also on Apple Podcasts, it's really easy to submit a review. If you've got feedback, if there's things we could be doing better, if you just want to slag one of us off, like, by all means, all of our channels are open. We're really looking forward to this season. Like, this is the second pod we've had back. We're getting back into the swing of it. We're hopefully going to have some really cool guests this year as well. Thanks for all the support. It's really, really appreciated. And hopefully this time next week, we're celebrating the first winner of 2023.
Yeah. All right. Well, go on, boys. We shall leave it there. Hopefully we'll have a winner, as you said. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Thank you, gents.
See ya.
Just take a moment to admire the fact that I just hit a fairway.
There's only two things that can happen. You can hit a good shot or a bad shot, so why waste time doing it?
And wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at.
Right at it! Home!
Jordan
He's Spence. Done it again!
This is the dumbest hole I've ever played in my life.
Come on then, Shane. Knock it close. Shane Lowry is the Open champion.